gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You were listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta. I won this. Come on.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 517. This is your host, Danny, a.k.a. Godfrey. Paulson J is going to be joining me for this week's episode. We have a huge, huge show, and it's all about Rise of the Tomb Raider. All right, so we have the creative director of the game. Full interview, took about 20 minutes or so, and a 30-minute review about the game. No spoilers. It's great. We had a great, great conversation about it, and I think you guys are going to like this. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, or you could also visit Play.it, listen to our past episodes, and make sure to subscribe, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Spotify, and share it with your friends. We need your support. And if you ever got the chance, please review us too on iTunes. Also, give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR, or email us fanmail at gamertagradio.com. Later this week is Pete's birthday, so make sure to give him a shout out later this week. Happy birthday, Pete. He's out of the country now. He's on vacation, and but he's going to be joining us this Thursday. We have a full episode of just fan mail. We have the whole crew, Paris, Pete Rock, Paulson J, and I. We got together and recorded a great, great episode. Can't wait for you guys to listen to it. So, all right. So we're going to go now to our interview about Rise of the Tomb Raider. And we'll be right back after this.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
What's your favorite month? Is it July? Is it December? Is it October? How about free TV month? This month, when you purchase any Samsung 9 Series SUHD television 55 inch or above, you're going to get a free 32 inch Samsung TV. Let me repeat that. If you buy any Samsung 9 Series SUHD TV 55 inch or above, you're going to get a free 32 inch Samsung TV. This offer ends December 5th, 2015, so go visit your participating Samsung SUHD retailer. The Samsung 9 Series SUHD television is the best way to view 4K, and you guys know I love me some 4K, and is the best television Samsung has to offer. Check out these features. It is the most superior level of color, contrast, and brightness. It has a brighter, more true-to-life picture with a wide range of colors. With its immersive curved screen, every seat is a great seat. Plus, right now, when you purchase any Samsung 9 Series SUHD television 55 inch or above, you're going to get that free 32 inch Samsung J4000 series television. Let me repeat that one more time. You buy that 55 inch or above Samsung 9 Series television, you're going to get a free 32 inch Samsung J4000 series television. While supplies last, for free 32-inch model and any additional restrictions and limitations, see participating retailers or visit samsung.com/free TV. Again, that is samsung.com/free TV.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag Radio crew? Patrick here, along with Danny. Danny, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Here, relaxing.
Excellent.
Miami, Florida. What's up?
Dude, doing great over here, man. Been playing amazing game last couple of days. Been playing Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider, actually, the sequel. I know you got a chance been playing it as well, but right now we got a cool opportunity. We have a special guest with us. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Noah Hughes, Creative Director for Rise of the Tomb Raider here at Crystal Dynamics.
Thank you so much, Noah, for being on the show. Have you had a successful lead up to the launch right now? Everything going really good?
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, we went gold and had the opportunity to have a a nice long rest and take a few deep breaths. But with the launch coming up, I think everybody's super excited to get the game in everybody's hands. And so, yeah, we're really excited. And, you know, anything I can answer as far as the game itself or anything else, I'm happy to do. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, yeah, I was a huge fan of what y'all did bringing back Lara with the original game a couple of years ago. Really was looking forward to the sequel, really anticipated to play it. So I guess first off, you had phenomenal success with the first game. What did y'all set out to accomplish with Rise of the Tomb Raider? Is it just because y'all, you know, it was successful and y'all wanted to make a sequel, but more like what did y'all want to add that y'all couldn't do in the previous game into Rise of the Tomb Raider?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it was... exciting to get a chance to make a sequel that I think as developers, you get really passionate about all the things that you could do in a game. And sometimes either you don't have time to do them all or it's not right for that particular game. And so whenever you finish a game, you almost start with this idea of what you could do next time. Like if we have the features and engines that we had now, what would we do on top of that? And some of the things that were at the top of the list for us were expanding the survival themes into gameplay systems that were really meaningful. So our hunting system existed in the last game, but now you have, I think, something like 15 different resources that you can either hunt or gather that all contribute into things like weapon upgrades or now crafting gear for Lara. Also, we've added some crafting in combat so you can make some improvised weapons and explosives and specialty ammo. So we really took that survival theme and made a commitment to try to express that in new and exciting gameplay ways. Probably the second biggest category for us was celebrating Lara as a Tomb Raider. We saw her become a survivor and glimpse this Tomb Raiding world, this supernatural, and we really wanted this adventure to be about her proactively seeking that out. And now her survival skills were the keys with which she would unlock these ancient lost secrets of the world. So we did things like add the language system. We added more bigger challenge tombs. We really tried to tell a story about Lara's sort of evolving relationship with these ancient secrets and her destiny as it relates to that. So that idea of really, you know, celebrating the classic flavors of tomb raiding and discovery and ancient secrets was another big goal that we came into this one. And that was more driven by sort of where Lara was as a character and what she had to do next.
See, one of the things that I like about this game that I'm happy that you guys didn't add no multiplayer, because I really, really loved the campaign from the last one. The multiplayer, wasn't much into it. I'm happy that you guys made that move. Was there a reason why? I mean, probably listeners might be curious about this. There's a reason why you guys didn't add multiplayer in this at all?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we tried to do this time was really listen to feedback on the last game and use that to improve the experience in any way we could. And I think I personally had a ton of fun with and was super proud of the multiplayer mode. But we do know that we get a ton of people that come to this game who enjoy it for that single player campaign experience. And so we kind of challenged ourselves to answer the online question a little differently this time and say, hey, how can you take, connected play, whether it be your friends list or streaming or some of these community features, how can you take that goal and just enhance replay within the single player experience, but really focus on A, making the best single player story-based campaign, and then B, letting those replay modes really extend that experience as much as possible.
How that, the whole leaderboards, how that works in this game too? Because honestly, I've been kind of hooked with that. I've been pausing my game every time to see who's above me from, like in certain missions and stuff. And Patrick, I've been beating you in certain levels.
Oh, no way. Hold up. Yeah. Play a couple of those.
But how that works with the whole leaderboard system in the game?
Yeah, it's as you play the single player campaign, it's keeping track of some of the scoring systems. So you do get an initial score just through playing through, but one of the things we've added this time is our expedition modes. And within the expedition modes, there's things like score attack, where you can then choose to play a specific level, and you'll start to get clearer insight into how you're getting scored. So if you're chaining attacks or doing stealth kills or sort of your time, or in that particular mode, there's also a new level of collectibles that you have to sort of chain together and pick up as you go to get the best score. So there's sort of this ability to maximize your playthrough style to get higher scores once you dip into those expedition modes, which are sort of our extended campaign, post-campaign plus modes. Now, what I would say is a lot of people take a while to even get over to that side of things, just because even after you finish the main campaign, you're left in this world that you probably haven't discovered all the tombs or maybe completed all of the missions. So we actually find that a lot of players just enjoy wandering back around the world and discovering the things that they hadn't discovered yet. And we really try to bake in as much of that as possible too. So we kind of have those two flavors of replay, which is really have a completionist experience within the game world and your structure there. But then also this replay modes, which are fun and challenge you, and then also allow you to start getting insight into, you know, what makes a good run versus a great run, and start to compare stats on that.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I noticed is, I mean, compared to the previous Tomb Raider, it kind of felt like I was being led along a certain pathway from start to finish. This one, it has, for me, much larger areas than were in the previous game, almost to the scale where sometimes I actually be confused and kind of get lost at what I was supposed to do, and then I get distracted by, you know, the challenge rooms that pop out of nowhere. Was that purposeful developed by y'all? You know, was that more because y'all wanted to be replayable, or because you wanted that initial, like, wow factor, this actually does feel like I am exploring uncharted territory for the first time?
Yeah, I think replayability is almost a nice byproduct of that, that there's a lot of hours left in the game usually, but what is more impactful to me is that sense of having choice as a player and getting lost, that what we try to deliver with the games is a little bit of that best of both worlds, which is if you do want to just push the story forward, there's a nice, well-paced roller coaster ride of story that tells Lara's next chapter of evolution, but that happens amidst this much larger and more complex world, and that we love to celebrate the idea of picking your own goals and defining your own pace a little bit, and even getting lost and discovering something that you know not everyone has found. And so it really is that sense of choice and discovery that motivates it most, but then it leads to nice replay opportunity.
See, we had a couple years ago, right before when the game came out, we had Camilla Lennington.
Yeah,
we had her on our show. She's really, really cool. I hope we could get her back on our show.
Yeah, Camilla's great.
But yeah, like, how was it working with her again? Because I remember talking to her on a podcast, talking about the first game. Man, she was super excited. She was like, man, this is like, you know, she was really, really proud about, you know, working with you guys on this game and stuff. But how was it working with her again?
Yeah, it was great. And I think it's fun for her. I think one of the things she likes about Lara as a character is it's a good contrast to things like her characters on Grey's Anatomy or something, that she really gets to be this active adventurer and, you know, doing a lot more crazy things in a lot more crazy places. But I think what she appreciated this time around was it is that next step in Lara's arc, and so she is more confident than she was in the last story, and she's more competent, she's more prepared for this adventure. And I think Camilla enjoyed sort of stepping into that next level of Lara, and part of what we try to deliver in the game is a little bit of growth of Lara, and then also between games and saying, yeah, Lara's come a long way since the beginning of this reboot. And so I think Camilla enjoyed that opportunity to step Lara's character forward.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was very impressive. And not just Camilla's performance, but, you know, some of the other supporting characters too, like Anna and Constantine and Jacob. in Jonah as well. Like, all these people just seem to come to life where, you know, even if I, you know, might recognize a voice here and there, they just seem to, you know, totally just make that character believable to me in that universe. How hands-on were some of these actors and actresses with, you know, developing their characters, or did they just come in and just read the lines as they were?
One of the things we did this time around was do a good table read. We would always do rehearsals.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, very early on in the script writing process, we did a table read with the actors. And that's a great opportunity for them to sort of step into those roles and then make some comments. We get to both, you know, from me and the writers hearing them perform the lines, we get to make our own sort of feedback on polishing how that, you know, does that sound credible? Is that something this character would say? But then you also get this opportunity for the actors to go, hey, you know, if I step into these shoes, this is what I'd do right here or something. Mm-hmm. And then we get to take that back into the writing room and iterate from there. So that was sort of our method for getting them more involved. And then there's opportunities on the set where we do have people, especially Camilla, because she's so familiar with the character, where they even on the in the moment they may say this just doesn't feel right, and then we'll work with it a little bit right there. But generally we tried to do that earlier on in the process with things like the table reads.
I like that.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about how the marketplace work in this game too, because probably some people might be confused about it
In terms of the any in-game purchases and that type of thing?
Yeah.
And that's specifically associated with our expedition modes, which we are talking about a little bit, which is our replay modes. And we started with this idea of the card system, and the cards allow you to win things from each run through. So we talked about doing, say, a score attack and trying to improve on your score or get a better score than your friends. That one of the things you earn as you do that is cards that then allow you to modify these modes. So in the case of score attack, for example, you can do difficulty modifiers, which make it harder for you and add score multipliers, or you can do some just fun modifiers like big heads or something, which doesn't have much effect except easier headshots. It basically allows, and part of that is just knowing that part of replay is just keeping it fresh a little bit. So we have this vision for the cards as a way to make replay rewarding and then feedback into it to make it fresh and different, and then also allow you to make not just compete at the one version of that level, that you can actually now put these cards together into some kind of crazy challenges, and then you can compete with each other on something more specific and more unique. So that was our vision. And then we allow you to basically buy card packs. And then beyond that, we have our downloadable content. So we have a mode called Endurance Mode, which is very much a survival. It almost takes all the mechanics of the game and makes a hardcore survival replay mode where it takes everything you can to even just survive in the wilderness. But your goal is still to find artifacts and things like that. So you're still tomb raiding, but we really create this fun hardcore survival mode. And then some story content like the Baba Yaga story pack, which just adds extra tomb and gameplay experience and stuff like that. So we have some DLC modes, some DLC story packs, and then these cards, which are really just meant to keep it fresh. And the thing that's important to me as a creative director is that the cards are all, you do earn those within the game. So for us, the buying is not an important part of it, but the important part is you, for playing one race, you get a cool randomized pack of fun stuff to roll into your next race. Having said that, if people enjoy the cards, they can purchase more or something, but it's not really part of winning the single player experience, and it's not required to enjoy the replay experience either.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's great. Good.
And that is separate from the campaign mode. You can't use any of the cards you described.
Yeah, they don't. You'll actually, it goes the other way though, which is doing challenges and stuff like that in the campaign does give you credits occasionally or special packs, and that does feed into the other direction. But no, you can't sort of
pay to advance in the single player campaign in any way. That's all blood, sweat, and tears.
Oh yeah, trust me, I'm playing on Season Raider right now, looking forward to that second Survivor playthrough. I'm already dreading some of these sequences going a second time through, but I like that you'll have the different difficulty options and it varies, and I like that you get bonus XP if you're playing on the harder settings as well. That's a nice little touch.
Yeah, the I think it's still maybe not as hardcore as our most hardcore audience's taste, but it was important to us that part of replay is keeping it fresh, like I said, with the cards, but part of it is keeping it challenging. So we did try to at least up the ante a little bit with some of our modes, including the difficulty level, and then, like I said, in the expedition space, kind of things like the endurance mode. So definitely hope there's a chance to challenge your survival and tomb raiding metal a little bit this time out.
I guess, you know, biggest question is, you know, where do we go from here? Is this something that you're going to keep supporting post the season pass, or are you already kind of thinking about, you know, Tomb Raider 3 at this point? You know, what's the future look like? What do you want to do with Lara Croft? Or you want to take a break and, you know, do something different for a while?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're excited to we're always antsy to hear what the our audience and the fans think, but we're pretty proud of this version, and we hope it gives us a chance to make another chapter for Lara.
Excellent.
But between now and then, we did build extensibility into those online systems, but it's you know, it's sort of dependent on interest from the players. So if we want more outfits or more cards or more story packs, that that's something that we can look at down the road, and the game supports it, and it's really just sort of, you know, figuring out what the fans want out of a post-launch Tomb Raider experience.
Excellent. Well, the more tombs, the better, in my opinion. I just can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
It's totally slowed down my story progress, but again, that's why I love Lara Croft. You know, she was born as an explorer. I'm glad that you'll have incorporated a lot more of those older game elements into this new Rise of the Tomb Raider. Where, you know, because maybe the last one got a little bit of too much criticism for being almost too much of an action game compared to the exploration part. But I feel the Rise of the Tomb Raider is a much better balance between the two. Of it, both ends are just as fun. And I like also there isn't, like, you know, an imaginary plot force pushing you forward. It's like, you know, you can stop, you can take your time, you can take it all in. You're not always pushed to go into the next story portion. So I appreciated that aspect as now, well, someone like me who likes to explore and find all the cool stuff before I want to continue the plot along.
Yeah, and that's great to hear, because that's a lot based on feedback and, you know, some of our own aspirations coming into it, but also just hearing what people want and saying, yeah, let's get a more self-driven world full of exploration and discovery. And, you know, that combat's always had a place in the game, but let's make sure we're really delivering on those tombs and that sense of discovery and exploration. And I would say that if, for those of you mentioned sort of more tombs, that if... for those of people that are looking for that, the Baba Yaga, in terms of our post-launch content, is the one to look at. That some of the other modes are super fun if you like our gameplay systems. Mm-hmm. But if you want some good story content and some good extra puzzles and tomb stuff, then Baba Yaga is the one to look at.
Well, Noah, thank you so much for coming on the show. I had a blast talking with you. I look forward to playing through this game probably at least a couple more times, because, again, that Survivor difficulty, the Expeditions mode, it just seems like there's a lot of replay value added on to this Rise of the Tomb Raider experience. So I'm having a blast playing it. I'm looking forward to playing it for us the holidays. But, Noah, thank you again so much for coming on the show. I wish you, with the launch of the game and, you know, the post-launch support as well, because you certainly have earned my admiration, because you know, I love any Lara Croft adventure, and y'all seems like y'all really hit it out of the park this time with Rise of the Tomb Raider. So again, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks a lot, man.
Appreciate it. I'll share with Crystal. Everyone at the studio here is really excited about the launch, so thanks for the chance to come on and talk about it.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
There's still plenty of football to be played this season, but it already feels like the playoffs at DraftKings.com, where millionaires are being crowned all season long. DraftKings is fantasy football on demand. With so much money up for grabs, every game is the big game and every play matters. Renew old rivalries or create new ones by playing head-to-head with friends, coworkers, and fantasy players across the nation. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Like we've been saying all season, folks, why be stuck in a season-long fantasy football league draft when you can play every week at DraftKings.com? Pick your players, set up your matchups, and cash in. Look, people were talking about Tom Brady early in the season. Now people are talking about Devontae Freeman. I mean, there's always going to be that gem that you can find. If you can find them at a low price, you can be a winner at DraftKings. So hurry to DraftKings.com now and turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. Use our promo code GAMERTAG and play for free with your first deposit in Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest. First place takes home $100,000. Enter that promo code GAMERTAG for a free entry now only at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio. And yes, we're finally going to be reviewing Rise of the Tomb Raider with Poston J. Poston, what's up?
What's up, man? Quite the experience, wasn't it? One of my, yes. We got to say, one of my upper experiences in terms of action-adventure games. Well-rounded on all sides. Let's dive into this. Rise of the Tomb Raider. I know me and you are both big fans of the previous one. It seems that they took pretty much all of the feedback that I might have had of gripes about the first one, and maybe it being too much of an action of a shooting game, and what they added in this new one now in terms of these larger open environments. This real sense that I do feel like I am exploring. So for me, this was great because, you know, since I grew up playing the Tomb Raider games when I was a kid, but they were also so difficult back then, back when you were just lost in a cave and it just told you, like, just figure it out. I felt throwbacks to that style of gameplay where, you know, everything wasn't designed just to hold my hand and lead me through a pathway. While that stuff is in the game, I appreciate that, like, it tells you where to go if you get lost with a simple button press, but that's optional. So if you want to be fully involved in the world and you just want to dive right in there and just be, you know, everything just it comes naturally to you. That's what I enjoy about the game, is it just feels like a very organic experience, and never am I questioning, like, you know, this feels too much like a video game level right here. The whole time I felt like I was in control of Lara Croft, and they just did a really damn good job, I gotta say, just making me feel attached to the character. They did a phenomenal job with all the voice work. Camilla Luddington, again, knocked it out of the park with Lara. She just, you know, owns that character and just makes it believable, makes her a human character, and makes me really, I think, go the extra mile of why I enjoy the story for this game so much, because it's so, I think, just well drafted around the strengths of both the of Lara and the villains as well. So there's a really cool story to this game. So I guess without spoiling too much, let's give like a general synopsis of, if you've never played Rise of the Tomb Raider before. So if you've never played Rise of the Tomb Raider, this game picks up several years, I would say probably after the first one, and Lara is basically going in search of this ancient lost city, told thousands of years ago about this, you know, lost prophet, essentially, who had this army, this following, this message almost, if you will, and he was hunted down by this ancient organization called Trinity, which it turns out has been around for a very long time, and they do not like basically loose ends. They don't want anyone trying to take down their world vision, if you will. They have a master plan for the human race, and, you know, they won't let anybody stand in their way. So Lara, of course, stumbles into this massive worldwide conspiracy, kind of leads her all over the earth, especially Siberia as well, as kind of major focus of the game. But, you know, again, brilliant level design, way to just to throw you in there, you know, from start to finish. I just felt like I was going on an adventure. Did you have a similar experience like I did, Dan? Did this kind of feel like a wild ride the whole way through?
Definitely. Like, I mean, I think I love the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the issue that I had the first one was too much of those crazy, crazy moments, her jumping and explosion. It was like too much of that. This one was so well balanced that it wasn't a lot of that. It will happen here and there, but it was not as extreme as the previous game. So with that alone, I loved it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, with the previous game, she didn't know about herself. Like in this one, she knows a lot more about herself, a lot more about her family, like her dad and everything, you know? So it's cool. And even like her friends in the previous game, like I didn't really care much about them. I don't know why. Maybe it's because
it felt kind of rushed in terms of my attachment to them being like, they kind of felt like emotional chess pieces of being like, oh no, go save this friend. Now go save this friend. And I'm like, I barely even know these people.
Exactly.
But I agree. I think they did a much better job reintroducing, you know, namely If you play the original character, you're familiar with the character Jonah. He returns in this game as well. Did a wonderful job. Almost didn't recognize him, I got to say, because he looks so different from the previous game. But really, just all, you know, all of a sudden, once I heard him, you know, him and Laura's relationship, it just felt like a good, you know, I think, anchor point, like emotional anchor point to the series. Yeah. Because I feel like if you're only just playing as the protagonist, you're really, I feel like a lot of games often will throw you into this and just assume that, you know, you're progressing for the sake of progressing because it's a game. But with this game, I actually did care what was going on. Like, I felt a little bit of a put, like the invisible push, if you will, that's like, hey, man, you know, my friends might be in trouble. I need to hurry up and see, you know, if I can go help them. But I also realized that this game is designed well enough that there is actually no, like, push timer. Like, you know, you don't have to do this stuff. You can take it at your own pace. The game is never, like, pushing you forward. And, you know, it does tell you in advance, like, hey, this might be the final, you know, checkpoint, you know, chapter save, if you will. You know, go back and do some other stuff if you don't want to beat the game first. But then I like, once you complete the game, you can still load back all the old checkpoints as well. You can jump between all the different you know, campfires, if you will, and go back and explore these areas. Because I got to say, I felt like I spent a lot of time searching around for, you know, the optional, the challenge tombs, the relics, the documents. And I probably only found maybe 25% of that stuff, which is really, like, under my estimate. I thought I'd find at least maybe half of the stuff. But the amount of content I think that they put in here really went that extra mile. It really does feel more like Tomb Raider than the past game. Or the past game more felt like a third-person shooter with some collectible elements on top of this. This feels much better balanced in terms of have a clear distinction of, like, you know, I can progress the story, I can do combat, I can, you know, find out Lara's adventure, or I can just stop, take a break, and take all my surroundings in. Because a lot of the times I felt that. I was like, oh, man, I kind of want to keep going, but, like, man, look at this expansive forest or this base or any other cool locales they come up with. I was very impressed by the level design altogether, I got to say.
Well, for me, it was like the first level, I just wanted to finish that level, right? Mm-hmm. Then, and like later on, I found myself like, okay, let me explore. Like, it was optional. It wasn't something that I had to do. But sometimes I ended up in an area that has nothing to do with the story. And it was basically either a side mission or a challenge. I think it's called a tomb challenges, which is the puzzles is crazy insane.
Yeah,
with some of the levels. But it's cool because you would discover more items, more stuff, new locations that you never thought would show up in the map.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. I loved that part of the game, man, because now I could go back to those levels that I finished, that I passed, and now I could go back and do these challenges and find more items. Because look, I've completed the game and I have right now between 58 to 60% done, like overall, like collectibles and everything. So now I want to go back and I'm trying to get 100%. Like, now this is the first Tomb Raider that makes me want to go back and collect more stuff. Because before the previous game, I just finished it and I was done. I'm like, all right, I'm good. And now this is the one that I really want to go back and do more and find out new locations and more items and new missions and everything, you know? So it's a lot of things to do in the game, which I love.
Yeah, that's what I love about it. Like you said, you know, when I completed the game, it still says I'm only 63% done. So I automatically know there was a lot of stuff I missed because even with the last game, you know, I did go out of my way to find, you know, all the tombs in the last game, find the majority of the collectibles just to kind of feel like I was getting some achievements or getting something done. But they were pretty much all just in plain sight. Like, I really didn't have to struggle at all. This one, I think I only found maybe 4, maybe 5 tombs, and there was a lot more that I could tell because what I like about this game, it returns from the previous game, is the fact that you can sometimes randomly just find, like, parts of a new weapon, either in a chest or on enemy. So it really rewards you for going out of your way because, you know, like I, for instance, had it be like, you know, the starting assault rifle, and I found pretty much half the parts for 2 more assault rifles and, you know, 2 more handguns and shotguns, but never actually got the new weapon because I didn't stop, go out of my way, and go search for the extra equipment. But now I know I have more reason to be like, man, I can almost get a second gameplay experience out of this because I know there's probably at least 3 or 4 new weapons that I didn't even get in my first playthrough just because I was so bow and arrow heavy in this game because it's so much fun to use the bow in this game They did a great job, I think, with, you know, the alternate fires. You have, like, you know, a poison gas grenade you can use with your bow. It just seems a little overpowered, in my opinion, like Splinter Cell style. Like, put everyone, kill them with a big old green fog. You had explosive arrows, incendiary arrows. I mean, they really just, I think, did a great job of making you feel powerful, but also not feeling like you're limited, because, like, you didn't go out of your way to find that stuff. So even though, like, I didn't find all the cool firearms, I didn't upgrade them, I upgraded my bow all the way. So, like, by the end, I did feel like a Tomb Raider. I felt like a badass. So I think they definitely accomplished the mission of, like, man, okay, this is great. This is the feeling of being Lara Croft. And I gotta say, I mean, like, I really can't get too much of the story away, because I think it's kind of a gem. And it kind of surprised me, I gotta say, with where the plot went. Didn't expect some of the twists and turns that were in there. And by the end, I was like, oh, wow. I mean, this kind of is kind of setting up for this whole new Lara Croft universe. I mean, I'm so ready to continue my adventures with Lara, because they've made it clear. I mean, I think they did it right. Like, you know, getting Camilla as Lara, building this world, making this style of game, it just all felt like this was meant to be. Like, Lara Croft finally got, like, the respect and admiration she always deserved, but pretty much only got back in the day because there weren't any other games like that. And now that there are things like Uncharted and other competitors out there in the world, I think that really had pushed them to go that extra mile to really deliver, I think, an exceptionally good Tomb Raiding experience that really, I just think, like, you would just have to hate this style of game entirely not to be attracted to this, because it looks good. The sound is fantastic. I mean, I had headphones on 7.1 the whole time. I was completely sucked in.
The soundtrack is amazing.
The soundtrack is beautiful. I'm definitely going to probably pick up a copy up at some point.
Yeah.
Pretty much all the checkboxes, they hit them. In terms of length, I had to do the math because this game doesn't have a play timer, unfortunately. So I came out, I think I got 8 hours completion time on my first playthrough. Do you have any rough guess of what you had, Danny?
Ooh, maybe a little bit less, because I was playing a normal difficulty. Okay. You were playing hard difficulty, right?
Yeah, I was playing hard, and there's one more hard in that called Survivor as well. So you know, essentially you have three difficulty settings for normal, easy, normal, and hard, and you have the Survivor one, which pretty mixes up, makes enemies stronger, faster, more accurate, and also kind of detriments you as well, because it makes you you upgrade slower as well. So it's kind of like that struggle against nature survival mode. I'll probably try it out my second time through, but yeah, just playing on hard, I had a blast. I was sufficiently challenged. The boss fights felt just enough as a boss fight, you know, be satisfying but not overly frustrating. And I think they did a good job with the pacing, because at no point was I really bored, because, like, you know, it hit all the right points going up, you know, the roller coaster hill and then coming back down and hitting all the crescendos and the conflict resolution. I was very impressed with how they set the whole story up to be a self-contained, essentially, like, you know, film that you got to live at your own pace. And I'm very impressed by the whole experience.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Socks. That's right. Socks. Anyone that knows me or follows me on social media knows I have a thing for socks. And I have to tell you guys about Mack Weldon. These guys were dope enough to send me a few pairs. And I have to say, they're the most comfortable things in the history of hosiery. Yeah, I just said that, didn't I? Whatever, I'm sticking with it. They're that good. They stay up. They have this little padding on the bottom that literally feels like little pillows for your feet. And not just that, they're mad stylish as well. They also sent me some t-shirts. I mean, who doesn't dig t-shirts, right? But these shirts are special. They have this thing called XT2 silver, which means they've got silver woven into the fabric of the shirt. And because of the silver tech in the shirts, means they're antimicrobial and anti-odor. And with Fallout 4 coming out soon, this means you can literally get lost in a wasteland for days without smelling or needing VADs to get healthy. And if that wasn't enough, if you don't dig what you get, doesn't fit right or whatever, they'll replace it or refund your money, no questions asked, or returns needed. The whole process is a breeze. Just head on over to macweldon.com. That's macweldon.com to place your order and get 20% off by using the promo code GTR. That's promo code GTR and save 20% right now over at macweldon.com.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Well, here's the thing too, Possum, we have to add, because we didn't complete this 100%.
Nope.
So the game length-wise, it's going to be way higher than what we have now.
Yeah, you know, I would say at least double. I mean, I'd say you could at least get 16, probably 60 to 20 hours minimum if you try to 100% this game.
100%, yeah.
And let's go ahead and get into the second portion of the game, which is the Expeditions mode, which is essentially a second game mode entirely from the main campaign. We discussed this a little bit in the interview as well with the development team. But Expedition basically breaks down into a couple of different factors. You can replay chapters straight up if you just want to go through a part of the game again because you enjoyed it. You can also do Chapter Replay Elite, where you pretty much replay a segment of the game, but you have all of your same upgraded skills and equipment as well. Kind of a pseudo new game plus if you want to jump around. Then it kind of gets into more of the specialized of like, all right, this is leaderboard stuff. So you have the score attack mode. So you have a score attack for every single level in the game, and you have challenges and medals as well. So like, it wants you to kill a certain amount of enemies on a level, you know, shoot all these lanterns, collect these items, you know, maintain a combo meter by, you know, not getting hit, doing chain headshots, stuff like that. Just basically you're trying to like make you play fancier and with, you know, style and finesse to get you kind of in the feeling and be like, okay, you know, I'm comfortable with the main game now. Now let's try some of the crazier options they have, because, you know, now when you get into the Expeditions mode, this is where the concept of the marketplace and the cards comes into factor. So the cards essentially work in two ways. You have in-game credits that you earn for completing story missions, for completing objectives, finding hidden relics, tombs, stuff like that. And those can be used in the in-game marketplace to basically buy random sets of cards, similar to Halo 5 system, where it's a randomized set of cards, and you basically put those in a deck. And then those cards are now used only for expedition mode. So basically what that means is, say if you had, you know, weapon modes, you had like a specialized shotgun or specialized assault rifle, you could choose when you load score attack on a certain mission to be like, okay, I want to have this equipment. I want to have these modifiers on so the enemies are on fire, or, you know, I have to melee them to get my health back, or if they had, you know, big head mode is on, random stuff, you know, gameplay stuff, things make it harder, make it easier, make it more fun. I just like it kind of jumps all around here, and there's pretty much something for everybody where, you know, if you just, you know, don't like the core experience, it's too intimidating for you, you can come back, load the missions and play them with some fun modifiers on to make the game, you know, more fun for you. Or if you're, you know, like me and like really love the challenge of games, you can make the game more difficult and go that extra mile to have like a pure hardcore Tomb Raiding experience. But I've only briefly pretty much messed around with Expeditions mode, and it seemed like there's a lot of replayability in terms of how you want to approach these missions. Mm-hmm. But the other cool thing as well is what they call Remnant Resistance. And these are basically like little tiny like micro missions that you can play that either other people have made or you can make them yourself and upload them. And it's nothing like as fancy as like the Forge mode in Reach, not like designing full levels. It's more like you're taking a template of like, you know, the Siberian wilderness out in the woods, daytime, nighttime. And then you're spawning and, you know, we want you to assassinate enemy leaders, or you have to collect certain objectives without being seen. Just basically,
Or kill a bear.
Yeah,
or
kill a bear, skin the bear. Yeah. You know, it can be any kinds of objectives kind of jumping around, kind of depending on, you know, who made the mission, you know, what kind of, you know, rewards they wanted to win. Because, you know, the harder it is, the more rewards you get. You know, the easier you make it, it kind of takes away a little bit of the stuff you'd earn. So it balances it out. But from what I've seen, it seems like a pretty fun replayable, just like a little micro simulation of the main game. So, you know, you don't have to commit to being like, oh, what checkpoint do I want to load? Yeah. That part of the game is fun. It's like, no, I can just load the separate mode, generate these random missions, play other people's missions online, earn credits, and I put that into my own Expeditions mode myself. So I like that it's all connected, but still separate. So the campaign mode is not affected by any of these things we're talking about. It's still just,
which is great.
It's great. And you don't have to worry about, you know, oh man, people are paying to get ahead of me in the single player game. The leaderboards are cheating now. There's none of that. It's separate. You know, you can't carry any of that stuff over in the single player game. This is all Expeditions mode with a separate leaderboard to track, you know, okay, I got score attack on this one. I get the fastest time on this map. You know, let's compete with each other. So I just like that, you know, really. They hit all the bases, I think, here. I think there's enough content here to satisfy people that, you know, like that initial experience and then like, you know, keeping a game like this to come back to it. Or if like you really just want to dive into this game and you just really just play the heck out of it, you have all these additional modes on top of the core experience. So as soon as you're done with the game, you're not even done yet. So you pretty much, you probably play only 50 to 60% of the game. And now you have probably double your play time remaining, depending on how you want to go back through the main missions or hop back into Expeditions mode. And I kind of look forward to seeing, you know, the creativity of the fan base out there of what they can come up with, because really the only missions available right now are made by some of our, you know, peers, like, you know, official Xbox Magazine, other people like that, only ones that pretty much made maps. So there's only
a
handful.
Those?
I've tried a couple
of
them.
Those are the ones I tried?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got two of them. So yeah, they're okay. Like, you know, as people will hear this, you know, the actual game will be out and you'll have a lot more content out there than we had access to as, you know, press releases. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm just looking forward to more cool content in this style. And I could see myself maybe even interested in the season pass we talked about in the interview as well, because, you know, I could definitely see myself getting more into this universe, because if they're going to take it seriously and they, you know, they've crafted this cool world, this cool gameplay engine, and if they're going to give me like more of the Tomb Raiding on top of that, I'm pretty okay with that, honestly, because, yeah, I mean, I got my fill of the shooting in this game, but please give me more of the exploration. I love the platforming in this game. You know, we barely even touched about that. It's really, really good. And mm-hmm. really at no point did I ever get mad because, like, the games killed me. It was always my fault. So some sequences where you have to run, jump, get out of the way of stuff, you know, it's very intense because it's like, oh man, this jumping is good. I mean, this is on point, you know, so this is all on me. It's not scripted. You know, if I mess up, it's my fault. I have to get better at the game. So some of those sequences where you have to, like, save your life from falling or, you know, press X to catch yourself, I was, like, sweating and like, oh man, I almost got her killed. And then, of course, if you do die, they have these horrible death sequences for Lara to make you feel super bad. Like, oh no, Lara, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
You fell down that cliff and made that awful sound. You hit the ground or those spikes hit you. But I just love that it's very well designed.
Here's another part that I really like about the game. And I'm becoming like addicted to this.
Yeah.
Because every time I'll be playing the campaign, I will press start and I want to see, that's like a little on the side, it's a little leaderboard mm-hmm. that show like the top 4, top 5 of your friends that also been playing that level, and you get to see like their scores. Or what you could do too is go to the main menu, go to the leaderboards, highlight, go to where it says like your friends, you filter it. And let's see, I see Pawson, he's in first, I'm in second, right? And a certain level, I could press view details and it'll tell me the difficulty he played, how long it took him, how many deaths, like everything. And I could also pick what he chose, difficulties, and I could press A and play the same exact thing that he did to see if I could beat his score. Which is awesome. I like that a lot. I've been trying that out. Yeah, I've been trying that out too. So that's something that I didn't know it was like there, that feature. But it's cool. It's cool. I like it, man. Really, really cool.
It is nice. You literally introduced me to that just now. I'm like, oh, wow, that is a pretty cool concept. But having the simple leaderboards when you just are paused in the menu and just scrolls through to be like, hey, that last mission you did this well. You know, Danny did this well. Here's what the other friends did. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Because as soon as someone beats my score, I'm pretty obligated to be like, okay, I got to hop back in and get back on top of the leaderboard now. But yeah, I mean, really, because I only got you and 2 other people played this game so far. So I can't wait to see what some of the fans think about it and, you know, how they score in the game. But yeah, I like little touches like this. You know, if when you have a single player only game, you dedicated all your resources to making a fun single player experience. Just build cool mechanics around that to make you feel better about it. I mean, some things as simple as leaderboards or this idea of collectible cards that you can use. I'm just very impressed by this experience overall. I guess the only thing I would have to be negative about is I kind of wish, you know, I'm sorry, 360 owners, I wish this wasn't made for 360, because I feel like it took a hit graphically because they had to have parity between the systems. Obviously, Xbox One version looks superior to 360, but this game could look better. Let's be honest. I mean, because if you're going up against PlayStation's Uncharted 4, which we know is going to look amazing, I feel like this game probably could have gone that extra mile graphically. But again, that's to the detriment of last-gen owners, and I apologize anyone listening to the show looking forward to get on 360. More power to you, but just I'm a next-gen kind of guy, so I just feel like this is a big title for Microsoft for the holiday season. This is one of their big titles, along with things like Halo 5 and Forza. I just think it could have looked better. But the nice thing is it runs well. And I think, honestly, that's all that really matters from a gameplay perspective, is the game runs very, very well. And the facial animations on the characters look fantastic. It's just some of the background stuff could use more anti-aliasing, could probably use some smoother frame rates here and there. But that's minor issues. I mean, again, I didn't really have a single technical glitch, bug, hard freeze, really like no one of the bad stuff you sometimes hear about.
I do have one.
Oh, did you have one? Okay, what was your experience?
I think they needed more enemy voices. Like, I feel like they were
using the same guy too many times.
Same guy talking to like another guy, but it was actually himself.
Yeah, having a conversation with the voice. Yeah. Yeah.
That was the only negative thing. And also another thing that I noticed, maybe just me, but I feel like when you play the game, visually, it looked better than the CGI videos that they were showing.
It was weird to have that disconnect between they like Lara looking a certain way in CGI and then looking another way in engine. Yeah, that was kind of off-putting. But I feel like...
I mean, it's very minor.
It's very minor gripe. Yeah. Again, that's just very minor picking. But yeah, okay. But I'm glad to hear that you didn't have any like hard freezes or anything. Like sometimes with you know games smooth. That aren't quite out yet.
Everything has been smooth.
Yeah.
And I, like I said during the interview, I'm happy that they didn't add no multiplayer.
Yeah, that just would have slowed down development time.
I feel that there's certain games, yes, deserves to have multiplayer. But games like Uncharted, Tomb Raider, I think those games are special because those games are about the campaign, mm-hmm. not about the multiplayer. Like Halo, you need multiplayer.
Yes.
So in a way, I'm so happy that they didn't add that for this game Uncharted. I mean, Uncharted for Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Because the campaign, the story, everything is just good, man. I really like it. Like, honestly, I thought it was going to be kind of like the same as like the last game.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start playing it and you get further and further in the game, and then at the end, when you complete everything, like, I felt, okay, this game is actually so good. Like, it's so well done. Everything is great, man. And I hope people give it a chance, man. I know there's a lot of titles coming out, you know, between, Halo 5, Fallout 4, mm. Call of Duty, you know, heavy, heavy games that I feel that, you know, maybe some people might put this game on the side and ignore it. But here's the good thing. Microsoft been promoting this game a lot more than the previous game because the last game didn't have no big marketing at all like this one. And I've been seeing TV ads and everything. So I hope it sells, man. I know there's a crowd out there that loves Tomb Raider. So, you know, support it. If you really, really like this game, support it, man.
Yeah, and tell your friends.
It's really good.
Because I really think this is probably the best introduction to Lara Croft at this point.
I think
I still would recommend the previous game because I like the game's plot. But I'm a little biased because, I like the culture represented in the first game. I won't spoil it. Like, I won't spoil what's going on in this game because, again, these games are all about the story. You want to play them, experience firsthand. Yeah. But I am still a big fan of the setting of the first game and this game as well. I just think that Rise of the Tomb Raider did a much better job of just getting everything out there, not making you feel like you're having to struggle to figure out what to do or not feeling like you're having your hand held constantly to be like, narrow pathway, go here, kill this people, move on, rinse and repeat.
Mm-hmm.
All of it, I think, is very well layered under... The game is well designed from top to bottom, so it has all the good gameplay you would expect from a third person shooter like this. Things like, again, the simple oversights you don't notice, but things like Lara automatically adjusting her height based on enemies, so she'll automatically crouch down and go into sneak mode just being near enemies, automatically gets next to cover when you're next to it, just little things like that to make it feel more organic, more like you're controlling a person and not just like, you know, just playing a game. You actually feel empathy for Lara. You don't want to get her hurt. You want to overcome the enemies. That sense of empowerment when you jump on somebody and, you know, stab them and then, you know, pull out your arrows and shoot three people in the face. I mean, it's just the game is just so well designed to make you feel like a badass, but you have options. I mean, you can use guns, you can be quiet, you can use the bow and arrow, you can just sneak around people entirely. I just like that it's any place that it's going to cater to. All the difficulty settings you have give you a lot of options of how you want to experience it. So really, like, I think this game is worth a shot for anybody with an Xbox One right now. And if you have a 360 as well, I mean, if you enjoyed the previous game, go ahead and check this out too, because I wouldn't say it's more of the same. I say it's an improvement of the formula. Like, they figured out, like, this is how we separate Lara Croft from Nathan Drake at this point. I feel like this game was the clear division of what those two games do differently and why I enjoy Tomb Raider so much. And I love Uncharted. I'm looking forward to Uncharted 4 greatly. But I love Tomb Raider. I love that it's back and that, you know, it has its own thing. Because really, I think it stands alone because there really aren't that many cool female protagonists in games.
Let me tell you, she's a badass, man.
She is
a
badass. Straight up.
Oh, my God. And it's so perfect. It wasn't... You know how it is with the gaming industry. Like, mm-hmm. putting these gaming characters all sexy and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't get this vibe at all.
That's what I love. They so never perfect. Sexualize her in this game.
At all.
The closest they came was that first part when you kill your first man in the first one. That's the closest they ever walked that line. And then it was always like essentially gender neutral because it doesn't matter. She's a woman. She can physically do all the same things a man could do, and sometimes more because she's Laura bleeping Croft. I mean, they make a big point of like her bloodline means a lot because the Crofts have been doing some cool stuff for a long time, and now that mantle of responsibility is passed to her from her father. And again, I don't spoil the game's plot, but they do a wonderful job getting into Laura's backstory and just making it feel like this is just an organic, living, breathing world. And by the end, you're like, man, I want to know more about Laura Croft's world. I want to know more about this mysterious organization, Trinity. You know, what else is out there? All these little things that add up make you go, wow. I mean, this is kind of why I play video games, is like these really well-designed narrative experiences, but also have really good gameplay on top of it. Because a lot of games, I feel like you're getting one or the other, but this game really brings them both together flawlessly. And I really can't gripe this thing on anything. I do think it's very much worth picking up. If you have an Xbox One, certainly. If you have a 360, I would definitely look into it. But yeah, I mean, Rise of the Tomb Raider, I think, is definitely worth your time. I'd hope it does not get drowned out by, like you said, the Fallouts and Star Wars Battlefronts and all those out there coming out this month in November. Because this game's worth your time. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
I hope it does not get slept on. So even if you have to wait until like Black Friday for a sale to pick it up, keep an eye out for this game. I think it's worth $60 now. It's worth any less amount of money down in the future as well. Because again, that's the nice thing about single player games. You can play them whenever you want. You're not being held hostage by, you know, oh, the multiplayer community is only going to last so long after launch. Like, no, this is a cool single player game. Whenever you want to get around to picking it up, I highly recommend it because I think you'll have a great time. And if you have, if you aren't hooked on Tomb Raider already, I guarantee you'll be hooked on Tomb Raider when you finish this one. Because I'm all in for the future of Lara Croft at this point. Let's bring it on.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up, guys. Thanks for listening to this great, great episode of Gamertag Radio. And, you know, and it's all about Tomb Raider. We had the creative director of the game on our show to talk about, you know, how was it for them to work on this game. And then our 30-minute review, which is cool, man. Spoiler-free, right?
Yeah, spoiler-free. That's how we do it. I'm super big on spoiler free, and I want everyone to have the same experience that I did, because going into this game, not hardly knowing anything, it's a blast. That's why I love single player campaign games. It's just basically you and your own personal book that you get to live out. And, you know, even though you're playing the same game, me and Danny can have different experiences of how we got to the same conclusion, just because you're the star of your own action movie. You just happen to be Lara Croft, and it's pretty fun to be Lara Croft, let's be honest, in this game.
All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it. Post your comments, feedback, share it with your friends, subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, we're everywhere. Subscribe and tell your friends. Tell everybody. Also, give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. This Thursday, fan mail, the return of fan mail. Stay tuned with that, because it's a pretty long episode. We recorded a couple days ago, and I can't wait to release it. So anything else, Patrick, before we wrap it up?
No, man. Bring on more games, man. I love this holiday season. I live for this because we get all the amazing AAA experience to make me go, man, this is why I'm still into video games 20 years later, because we just get better and better with every year that goes by. So again, Tomb Raider, again, I think one of my top games for 2015 at this point. You need to play it if you have an Xbox One.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, dude, I wasn't even thinking about that.
Yeah, it wasn't in my radar until the credits
at
roll
all.
At the point.
At all. And after playing this game and actually finishing it, now it's pretty up there with my top five, at least.
Very
my top five
crowded
games.
Year this year. We're going to have a tough time with the end of the year show come later next month, but we'll deal with that when that happens. But for now, if you can play Rise of the Tomb Raider, I highly recommend you check it out.
It might change between now and the end of the year, so stay tuned. All right, guys, until next time, we're out. See you this Thursday. Bye.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.